Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name's Chris, and tonight we're talking about the 1989 Ocular-issued movie Blind Fury.
Unreasonable men make life so difficult.
Shoot! The Blind Zorro! If you can't handle it, get me somebody that can. Get me Bruce Lee!
Bruce Lee is dead.
Then get his brother.
Rutger Hauer.
I also do circumcision.
Blind Fury.
Ocular issued. Man, you got to take sensitivity.
Vision impaired. I thought that was extremely sensitive. I thought that's how you would, you know, you have ocular equals eye.
Differently visioned.
Differently visioned. That's probably
no, that's
a little
stupid.
More PC.
Vision
he
impaired.
Has no vision. Whoa. You can't say he's differently visioned.
Whoa. Impaired? I don't know.
That's like saying
impaired.
You have like a shoe size zero because you have no feet. What?
Oh, yeah. That's,
you don't wear shoes.
There, fella.
That's a good question. If you get your feet lost in the war or whatever.
Are you still a size 13?
Well, and you're like, I need to buy shoes for my prosthetic feet. I guess there's
go
a
with
specific
something.
Size, right?
I would.
Nah, everybody's just a them. Nine.
What happens to your driver's license if you lose a leg or two?
Oh, you're no longer 6'2".
Dude.
I'm 5'6" now.
Dude, if I lost my legs, but they got the fake prosthetic ones, I'd be weigh so much less.
No.
You would weigh less?
Yeah, I would weigh so much less.
I'd think that's a good weight loss plan.
I'd be like 140 pounds, and they'd look at me and be like, you're not 140 pounds. And I'd be like,
you didn't
bitch,
commit this crime.
Please. And then, yeah, exactly. And then I'd rob liquor stores. It'd be a whole thing.
Officer, I'm in a wheelchair. How could I rob this store?
You could just get legs that were two different sizes. So when you ran out of the store, you were at the 6 foot mark. But then later, you were like 6'5".
Oh, they could be pneumatic.
No. This is perfect. This is perfect.
Like a 90s gangster rap video.
No, officer, I haven't seen anybody. Wow, you're really tall there,
you
fella.
You just go into the liquor store. You have a partner, whatever. You rob it. And then you give your partner your legs. And you just sit on the corner. Because they're not going to be like, dude, how'd you rob the liquor store? You don't have any legs. You know what I mean?
That's discriminatory, Chris.
I think I saw this movie.
I like these switches that Aaron's talking about that raise and lower.
This is like Inspector Gadget level bullshit. That's never going to happen.
Actually, that'd be really handy.
It would be really handy. You just
they have things now like for people that are in wheelchairs that like they can stand, it stands them up.
Oh, yeah.
So then they can like go around, they can cook. And
right.
That's awesome.
I just want my exosuit.
My father-in-law had a recliner that would stand you up.
I don't think that's the same thing.
It's sort of the same thing, but it was like, why would you ever need to stand up if you're in this recliner? That's the real question, right, guys? That's the real question.
My grandmother had one of those, too.
Where it like dumps you out the front?
I really don't know if that's the answer, though.
Why?
I feel like if you assist people in that way, then they're just never going to be
able
to.
Oh, here we go. Got
to
pick you up by your bootstraps.
I'm not talking about picking you up by your bootstraps.
Small loan of $1 million.
You need a hand up, not a hand out.
I'm not. Not what I'm talking about, you bunch of assholes. Jesus.
No, Todd, that's actually true. Like, people who get, like, the motor chairs, they never get better.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, you don't get old because you stop moving. You stop moving because you get old. Did I say that right or did I go backwards?
You got it backwards.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I can attest to that 100%. I've seen my dad's rapid decline into old person from fit-ish late 40s man to like 75-year-old man in a matter of 5 years. Mm. Now you can say perhaps it's the opioids, and I'm sure that is a factor, but also the factor that he doesn't move his body ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was depressing. That was very depressing.
Speaking of blind people.
So we should probably just apologize up front.
Yeah,
I feel like we are probably going to make fun of blindness in some way in this episode. I mean, not me, but probably Todd. I'm very sensitive to these kind of things, so I just want to point that out right now. What do you have to say? What do you have to say for yourself, Todd?
Why me? My eyes are wide open.
Listen
on this
to this
subject.
Guy. Look, he's making fun of blind people already.
They're ocularly impaired. Come on.
Differently visioned.
Differently visioned.
All right, Todd. This should be. You should have this one in the bag, son.
Oh shit! I forgot to prepare one.
Oh my gosh!
You didn't see it coming, Todd. You couldn't see it coming.
I didn't see this one coming.
Okay. You did your mom. Okay, go ahead.
All right. What is Blind Fury
Pumped
about?
And below.
That's not what this is about at all, Scott.
A devastating accident in Vietnam leads a special agent blind.
I can't see
anything.
My
eyes.
Frank?
My eyes.
He gets recuperated by a sword master of sorts.
You must slice the melon.
The melons, they do nothing.
In a interesting twist, he needs to save his old war buddy kid from a gang of no-gooders.
Come on, Billy.
Oh, Billy.
The fuck is a no-gooder? Okay, cool.
No-gooders. That seems very... Yeah, I don't know what that is, Todd. No offense.
I like
have
it.
The,
that's some milk and snack
we have
kind of
the sword skills and vision to pull it off.
Oh,
that's prepared.
Find out in Blind Fury.
Rated R for all the blind action. Some of the theaters near you, you won't be able to see it because you're blind.
Thanks, Todd. That...
Now available in Braille.
Dude, Todd, that...
see, frame by frame.
See, I'm glad that we apologized up front, and now we can be just the...
No, that makes it better.
I think that makes it a little better. At least
hey, I took sensitivity training at work today. That totally doesn't make it better, but we'll continue anyway.
It's a hostile work environment.
Todd, I think that was one of your better...
I don't know what happened. I think I just... Rucker Hauer got into me, and I just...
You were touched.
Is there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so 1989, we've covered it many times, but let's take a moment and feel our way through this dark history hole for 1989 and get a little context for the movie and the year it was released.
It's time for the history hole. Assume the position and prepare to be filled with knowledge.
That's not Braille. Okay, so... We've covered 1989 a bunch of times, most recently with Parents. So
is that a butthole joke?
Keep this one short.
For the blind?
No.
Well, it's different because it's for the blind.
Stop. So. All right, so this film was actually released in March 18th, 1990, but we're going to go ahead and say...
It was actually a polyps joke, but go on.
Yeah.
Aaron, these history holes are taking forever.
It's just medical, Aaron. How dare you?
They take so long. Everyone's got a butthole. Aaron gets so offended.
I know. I don't know why. Like, these are the things everybody has, and it's like a commonality. It should be whatever. Continue
on.
This
is like this when you go to a party and everybody wants to talk about the fucking weather. Like, who gives a flying fuck?
What
Can
kind
we
of party
stop talking
are you
about
talking
weather?
About? Wait.
Hot enough out there for you?
Yeah. What kind of parties
you know,
are you going to
the,
where
like,
they talk about the weather?
Parenting crap where it's like, my kids know your kids, so we have to associate with
each
other.
No. Okay. So what I'm understanding from this
I'm
point
from
of view
York.
Is that the next time I have to make small talk with another kid's parent is I need to talk about buttholes.
Yes. Everybody's got one. What?
So I shot these turds out, but I didn't see them. They didn't go down.
Mystery turd.
That's a Patreon exclusive.
You guys
want
to hear a hell of a story about mystery turds? I call this one the mystery turd.
Yeah, that's on the pre-show, so make sure you subscribe.
Oh,
$2 a month. Yeah, it's $2 a month, Spiv.
That's totally
so did Chris.
You know what else is complete shit, Chris? This history hole. All right, so this film was actually released on March 18th, 1990. Some other films from March 1990 were Hunt for Red October.
I slapped
that's
that woman.
That's not a knife.
Get me the new
slap that submarine.
The Russians. Russians are over France.
Okay, Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's a great movie. Very relatable. Pretty Woman and Teenage Mutant Ninja. Turtles.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Classic.
Yes.
Why are we doing Danny Dirty Dancing?
Danny Dirty. Pretty much the same thing.
Pretty Woman.
I said Danny Dirty.
Pretty no, he woman. Said he said pretty woman, woman. Yeah. And I heard Dirty Dancing. Yeah. My fault.
Pretty much the same thing. Less,
I mean, there was some Dirty
Swayze.
Dancing in that movie. So some movies released this month of September 1990 were Hardware.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait for that new Richard Stanley movie.
I know. I know. I'm so excited. Goodfellas and I Come in Peace.
Great movie.
But you'll leave in pieces.
Yes, you will. So cast and crew for this film, since we're keeping this short. The director was Philip Noyce.
Noyce.
He's an Australian.
Noyce.
Call that a Noyce.
This is a Noyce.
Throw another blind guy on the Barbie.
God.
That is...
We're all going to hell. He's an Australian, but this was his first U.S. film. He has quite a long career, actually. Some other films he's directed that you would know... are Patriot Games.
Whoa, really? That's a sweet movie.
Yeah, it is a sweet movie. Sliver, The Saint.
Wait, Sliver or Slither? Yeah. Oh, yeah,
no,
it's definitely
Sliver, not Slither.
Oh, the what's her face movie? The Sharon Stone movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Saint, movie. Dead Calm, and The Giver.
Wait, Dead Calm?
Yes.
Oh, wait, okay. Yes,
Nicole Kidman film, yeah.
This is a real filmmaker.
Yeah, he's a real guy.
I'm a Philip Noyce fan.
I am a big Philip Noyce fan, guys. That makes a lot of
I
sense.
I realize how much I loved him.
His movies are okay.
I would say they're
pretty good, actually. Patriot Games is a fucking fantastic movie. Yeah,
Dead Calm's a good movie, too.
He also directed The Giver, which is my nickname for Ian's mom. All right, latest film is Above Suspicion.
Jokes?
Until he harasses me about it, yes.
He hasn't said anything yet.
I know, I'm waiting. His latest film is Above Suspicion, starring Emilia Clarke, and he just completed the TV movie version of Gone Baby Gone.
Okay.
Yeah, so the writer, there's basically two guys here that you need to know. This movie is based on a story, or it's not a remake per se, but it's based on a concept from an older film by Ryozo Kashihara.
I'm sorry, Japanese listeners.
Zatoichi?
Yes, yes. He wrote the 1967 film that this is loosely based on called Zatoichi Challenged, which is the 17th film in a nearly 30-film series.
Holy shit.
Yes. Yes.
It's probably
like
Zatoichi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it.
Yes. Zatoichi.
Zatoichi. That doesn't sound Japanese.
You said it first. I went with it. Ryozo Kashihara. All right, so Charles Robert Karner is our other writer. He's the one that actually wrote the screenplay of this film. He is basically writing credits for mostly just crappy TV things, but he did write the TV remake of Vanishing Point, starring Viggo Mortensen and Jason Priestley. Vanishing Point, if you're not familiar, is a really cool car chase movie from the 70s. A lot of fun.
There was a TV movie?
Remake with Viggo Mortensen.
Okay. We have to watch that.
I know. some actors from this. So we have
Terry
O'Quinn.
It's like on TV, so it's like a Honda Civic or something.
No, it's got to be a Challenger.
Man, you had a little bit of a TH Senior laugh going on there. You all right?
Is that what he sounds like?
You got the bronchitis over there?
I got the kitis. I got the kitis. So we have Terry O'Quinn, who plays Frank Devereaux. You probably know him from Lost, Young Guns, Tombstone. He was in the Stepfather series. He's in a bunch of TV shows, most recently with like Castle Rock, and I think Hawaii Five-0. We have Brandon Call, who's a little boy Billy. He's in Warlock, the horror film, and he was in Step by Step and Baywatch TV shows. You have Noble Willingham, who plays McCready. You'll know him probably from City Slickers, Walker Texas Ranger, and The Howling, although I don't remember him in that. And Randall Tex Cobb, he plays Slag. He was a former heavyweight boxer. He's basically known for Ace Ventura, Uncommon Valor, and Raising Arizona. So some movies that kind of came up during this that we should check out are Gymkhana from 1985. It's a kung fu movie about an American gymnast who travels to compete in a deadly game, not won by anyone other than a native in more than 900 years.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm not into gymnastics that much. Well, it's kind of lame, right?
He's a fighter, though. He just happens to be a gymnast.
No, he just does gymnastics. He does a forward roll.
I mean, I will say, I think gymnasts might be the most, the most perfect example of what human fitness can be. Who is more fit than a gymnast?
Totally.
Todd, okay. You're runner up.
There. I hear you. It doesn't make it cool.
No, that's fair. Yeah,
it's impressive.
Yeah, it's exactly what yes. I would say.
Okay,
yeah.
Is that impressive or like watching a guy eat like 30 hot dogs?
Oh, that's
they're both
disgusting.
Equally impressive.
So, the other films I thought that might be cool would be the Stepfather series. I've never seen any of those. They're like a horror thriller type film.
Yeah, we should get into those.
Yeah. Basically, the first one is, after murdering his entire family, a man marries a widow with her teenage daughter in another town and prepares to do it all over again.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
We have Warlock from 1989. I'm familiar with it, but I've never seen it.
I've
about
seen
a
it.
Warlock who flees from the 17th to the 20th century with a witch hunter in hot pursuit. So, I guess it involves time travel. And we have Collision Course. A Japanese investigator and a Detroit cop team up to track down a stolen prototype turbocharger. Stupid. Yes. But it stars Jay Leno as a cop.
What?
And Pat Morita.
What? Why are you guys stealing all my cars over here? What are you guys stealing all my cars?
We got
that's pretty good.
That's one of your best impressions.
Yeah.
I'll come right
it's
out
easy.
And say it.
It's easy. You just put your chin into the action.
What are you guys stealing all my cars over here? You're stealing all my cars.
So we got to watch that. I'm adding that to the list. It looks so stupid, but sounds awesome. So some action. This was an action comedy.
Oh, this is still going?
Movie.
Okay.
I'm wrapping it up.
Jesus Christ.
Minutes.
No. Four of it was the history hole. The rest was Chris talking about his butthole and hot dogs.
Oh, how dare you.
All together.
All at the same time. So similar movies, Tango and Cash, K-9, Pink Cadillac, Disorganized Crime, and Collision Course, which is that film I just talked about. That's it. So feel your way out.
Thank you, Aaron. That was a very nice history hole.
I'm going to need a guide dog to get back out.
I use my cane and I just slap it around in there. All right.
Patreons! Join us on Patreon! Come on, Patreon, baby! Patreons! Join us on Patreon! Patreon, baby!
Hey, this is Chris. Make sure you go to patreon.com/badmovienightshow and sign up to support the show. For $5 a month, you get access to the weekly pre-show, the new podcast, Crite Night, which is a Critters podcast, as well as other bonus podcasts and videos. So go check it out now, patreon.com/badmovienightshow.
Scott, what did you think of Blind Fury?
I enjoyed this movie. It was fun. It was Rutger Hauer. And the kid wasn't that annoying.
Yeah, that's
actually... Do you ever cry?
Real men cry tears.
Oh, man. Oh, this is great.
Todd, what'd you think?
This was some good old, wholesome Rutger Hauer power hour and 16 minutes of... Or 26 minutes of action and a little bit of comedy. And, yeah, I liked it. I had fun. I was maybe it was a little weird at times, but I think it's just because it didn't age well, maybe. But for the most part, it was good.
Aaron, you hate blind people. What did you think of Blind Fury?
I fucking love this movie. It was great. It's like half Three Ninjas cheesiness.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Other half that. Is like violent 90s action film.
I could totally
and
see
in the middle of it, you have Rutger Hauer making stupid faces. It's fantastic.
Rebecca.
I thought it was interesting.
Uh-oh.
Kind of like what Aaron said, it really went back and forth in its tone. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a mother dying, and then you have goofy police antics, and then it's serious boy loses mother, and then weird guys in the car. It's just very interesting in how it kind of flip-flopped back and forth.
Oh, the Cowboy Brothers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I still enjoyed it. I just thought it was an interesting switcheroo.
I hear you. When I think of like Indiana Jones, those kind of like high adventure movies, it's like the threats are more comedic in tone, meaning like getting shot is kind of funny for those characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't take any of it seriously. But in this movie, it's that, except for, like, you see a mother get brutally murdered with a shotgun.
Like, less than 20 minutes into the movie.
And, like, the son is now has to, like, rationalize that in his head, and he's, like, 8 years old. So, it's, like, kind of takes some of the fun out of
it. Especially when, like, he doesn't know that she's dead, so yeah. He's, like, trying to collect, call her, like, Mom, Mom, why won't you answer? And they're like, because she's dead.
How does he not know she's dead?
He was knocked out.
Yeah, he was knocked out because there was brutal, like, kid abuse in this movie as well, yeah. So... I did really like this movie. Not for the kid abuse and the mother murders, although that stuff didn't turn me off. I enjoyed that as well. I'm not going to lie.
It's for the blind people abuse.
It's kind of like a touching, heartwarming story about Rutger Hauer, who has lost his vision, but his heart, you know, his vision, he might be blind, but his heart certainly isn't, I'd say. You know, he's open to loving kids again or something.
Just stop while you're not at all in it.
All right, well, I didn't mean it anyway. Like
you need like a PR person, Chris.
But this is a super fun movie. It is funny. I laughed a few times. The action sequences are cool. There's some cool violence. It is kind of... There's not much of a plot, but it's it goes along, and I was entertained the entire time. I think it's because you got the factor in the Rutger Hauer.
Oh, he's
when
so charismatic.
When you factor in Rutger Hauer into a movie, it's automatically pretty entertaining.
He was 110%.
Totally, wasn't he? I just... let's just... Blindness, okay? Let's just... This movie is like a warning... against, like, underestimating blind people, because... And this is how all these movies are with blind people, or any show. It's like, blind people are like mystical ninjas, right? Because they no longer have the sense of sight, so they are somehow able to have, like, precognition about things.
No, they're not precognition. They just have heightened senses of other things.
Yeah, he hears.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
This the thing that is frustrating to me is like I'm sitting there. I'm like, man, this is such a great movie for blind people, but they can't fucking see it.
No. So that's my point. Is that
it's like Daredevil or whatever that like he's like a blind superhero basically, right?
So I think if you are actually blind, this shit would piss you the fuck off because you'd be still stumbling along, tripping over your fucking socks because you're fucking blind, and these guys are acting like they're ninjas out of nowhere. Well, you know what I mean?
He did train in Vietnam for 20 years.
Oh, give me a break. Who hasn't trained in Vietnam for 20 years, Spiv? We've all done that.
You got a point.
Yeah, okay, but why? Why does he train in Vietnam for 20 years?
I don't know.
Okay. I just like how he's
that's
like hugging
how long
the,
it took his eyes to heal.
I figured he just couldn't, he didn't know how to get out of there.
So how did he get out?
He couldn't find his way out.
He had to cut the melon. He had to stay there until the melon was cut in four pieces.
Equal.
I'm
four
so
equal
sick
pieces.
Of melon.
I love melons. I actually bought a honeydew melon this past weekend.
Yeah, your favorite melon is strawberry. Like we learned that in another episode.
I haven't cut into it yet. I will update everybody on the next episode after I've dived into this honeydew melon.
Good. That's the good one.
The garbage
melon. Honeydew hole.
The honeydew hole. We'll get into that next week. Look forward to that. Put that on your schedules. Okay, so the movie opens in Vietnam, as most blind movies do. There is some explosives. It renders Rutger Hauer blind. Because you can tell because instead of showing anything, he just goes, my eyes, I can't see. That's what he says, like the first line in the movie. I was like, this is great exposition.
Such charisma.
And then
I'm messing around.
No. And then he gets, you know, the next scene, he has some trash wrapped around his eyes. And I'm pretty sure that's why he can't see anymore. So they like infected his eyeballs. So they've rotted out because there was like
your eyes hurt here. We'll put these plants and sticks into it. It'll be fine.
He's got vitamin A.
I actually don't think it was Vietnam either. Hot take. But
oh, yeah.
What? Wait, no, it was totally Vietnam.
It,
totally
it had Vietnam. To be Vietnam. What are you thinking?
He was I think it was during the Vietnam. What's that?
Go ahead.
I know it was during the Vietnam War, but he looked like he had special operations insignia on his outfit, And it looked more like Laos than Vietnam to me.
Well, that's
that kind of tree only grows.
But okay, so it was the Viet Cong.
They were the North Vietnamese, yeah.
That was North Vietnamese who were in cahoots with some of our still non-allies of the day, and
that is that what caused the tensions in the area.
Well, it was a French colony.
Okay, this is getting deep. This is we're back in the history hole here.
And then the French moved out, and they wanted to become their own country,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't let them.
Mm-hmm.
So they hooked up with China
mm-hmm.
to get supplies and stuff. But China said you can only do this if you become communist,
mm-hmm.
which of course wasn't good for the U.S. because
we
hate communism for some reason. So there, that was it.
And they're like, we need Rutger Hauer to be blind.
So lots of violence and people died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For pretty much no reason.
Side note, you know how they call him Charlie?
Yes.
That's because Viet Cong is Victor Charlie.
Damn, I'm learning so much on this show. You guys should appreciate this. This is better than a high school diploma you got just right now.
It's true. They should have done this in high school.
Highly recommend the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary.
Oh, Ken
That's
Burns is so good.
Exactly what I was about to recommend.
Wait, where can I watch
Fantastic.
That?
Fantastic. It was on PBS a year ago. I'm sure you can find it online.
Maybe you can watch it online. You can watch it all for free online.
I would
it
love to watch
it. It will teach
this.
You so much about that, and it's a pretty well-balanced, what am I trying to say, like, description of it, too.
Oh, for sure.
These things, though, in history are so detailed, and you learn the like most basic things of them, and then when you dive into them, they're so much more intricate.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for especially sure. like World War One.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, pretty much any conflict is really interesting to learn much more about.
Yeah, because there's never, at least, maybe there is, you could wager World War II, but there's never like, it's never good versus evil. It's always...
Yeah, but see, World War II would have never happened if it wasn't for World War One.
There you go. Was, oh my God, things are just
the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like everything is so gray,
mm-hmm.
and just unfortunately, Rutger Hauer couldn't see gray because he's so goddamn blind. This movie, he's just so goddamn blind.
Oh, we're talking about a movie?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, we got off on a sorry. History tangent there. This is
so I have
about
a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did this tribe of Laotians or Vietnamese have this ritual of cutting melons with a sword?
Well, I mean,
how else do you cut your melons?
Yeah, that was badass too, by the way. I watched that sequence a few times to see if, like, did Rutger Hauer actually cut the melon? And if he did or didn't, it didn't matter. The way they edited that scene, it was really well done.
All the
I believed play. I yeah. believed that he cut the melon.
So yeah, much
I was about to say what Spiv just said. All the swordplay was super well done. It wasn't exaggerated, really. It was just, I don't know. It was
actually like intense.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the choreography and
I mean,
everything in this film is
I mean,
really good.
Hearing about David Noyce makes sense because he's like a real filmmaker and this movie's production values are really good.
Oh, Noyce.
Yeah. The choreography, like you said, is really good. There is a few sequences near the end of the movie where it's supposed to be Rutger Hauer fighting another guy, but it definitely looks like fake Rutger Hauer fighting another
yes.
guy.
Yeah,
but
was terrible. Yeah.
I was still entertained. I'm not going to lie.
At least it wasn't an action figure like your.
Oh, I had to go back and watch that your scene. It was so good.
Oh, no, I wish
like,
it was an action figure.
G.I. Joe's linked together.
So we've made it through exactly 2% of the plot. So Rutger Hauer gains martial arts abilities of some sort. He learns how to sword fight from the Vietnamese or Laos people. We don't know for certain, but he has, you know, he's grown and he is now able to function as a blind person and also as a warrior at the same time. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So mm-hmm. he flies to Miami
and he goes to a bar.
Yes.
For a burrito.
The first of many scenes where people just randomly pick on him because he's blind.
Have you guys ever picked on a blind person, Todd?
No.
No.
Everywhere he went.
Come on, Todd. Tell me the truth. How many blind people have you picked on?
Why would I pick on a blind person?
I don't know. To make yourself feel better?
Apparently, it's the way things were back in 89.
Can you imagine that? Like, why the fuck would you ever just pick on a blind person? I guess people actually do that kind of stuff, right?
Do they, though?
Well, I mean... People with disabilities could be assholes too. And if they started it, maybe. I'm not saying I would participate, but just because people are disabled doesn't mean they're not like assholes.
Sure, sure. I'll grant you that. Aaron's finding excuses to pick on disabled people. That's fine, Aaron. no, but he certainly didn't
building up
ask
a nice straw man's argument over here.
Yeah.
Okay. What if the blind guy's an asshole?
He looks at me wrong. Just, he can't see Aaron. It's all matter. He gave me the stink eye.
He just stared at me the whole time.
What I did notice, though, is that the movie starts in Vietnam, and then it says 20 years later. And Rutger Hauer does not look like he's aged at all. And I think it's because when you go blind, you no longer use all the eye energy. Because I feel like looking at things is a lot of energy, right? And that just ages you.
A lot to process.
Because, yeah, like your brain is like...
Using energy ages you.
Todd, the amount of neurons flying and synapses in my brain as I look at things, insane. And if I couldn't see anything, none of that's happening.
Yeah, that would burn fewer calories. That wouldn't age less.
Don't you talk about the calories.
That's
you said you would never bring those up.
That's not necessarily true, though, because it's been shown that highly calorie-restricted diets can lead to longer life. So, by Chris's theory, he might have gained an extra, day.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Just got served.
An extra day over 20 years?
Bet you didn't see that one coming because you didn't see it.
Chris, you know what it is. It's the melons.
You think it's the melons?
Blind melons? All I can say is that this theory is pretty lame.
We've come back around to the 90s.
R.I.P. One Love. That guy died, Aaron.
He died before that song came out.
He was blind. He got hit by a car.
Got stung by a bee.
What?
All right. Let's just get through some of the plot. Let's
stung by a bee?
I don't know.
It's the video.
Gone.
The music video.
Okay. No one saw that.
I don't remember.
What are music videos?
The bee girl. Oh, jeez.
I've suppressed that from my memory.
But no, the melons, you rejuvenating keeps him young. 20 years of eating melons.
Yeah. Can you survive if you just eat one food your entire life? Because I feel like you don't have the nutrients, the vitamins you need.
Yeah,
right?
there's a solid question. I don't know if you could.
I think it depends on what the food is.
But what food
define survive?
I mean, there are people that eat like a lot of rice as a main staple, but they still have like
vegetables.
I don't know, fish or
melons.
They'll put like salt on the rice so that they're at least getting some.
So they're not getting goiters.
Yeah, some iodine, some nutrients from that.
Whoa! Why would you get goiters from rice?
No, what? From
you
not
need
having
iodine.
Salt.
Oh, okay. You just had me really worried because I really like rice. And I feel
rice.
Like I might now be growing a goiter. I don't know.
This is the pimple.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear Chris's theory as to why salt prevents goiters now because I don't know if he knows.
Oh, no, that's easy. Like when you throw salt on a slug, it like destroys and evaporates the slug. It's like the
and a slug is pretty much a walking goiter.
I mean, it's just basic science here, guys.
Oh, my God.
Now, Chris, when you get a goiter, where is it in your body?
Well, it's always on your neck, right?
Okay. I'm surprised you knew that.
Yeah, I thought for sure we were getting butthole for that answer.
Oh, no. That's polyps. And
my butthole
things.
Thyroid is acting up again.
Fingers crossed it's right on my penis.
I'll just put some salt on it. Just rub some salt.
Oh,
just fine.
God, guys. You guys pull yourselves together. Seriously. Holy shit.
Just don't put
I'm trying to do a show
eyes.
Here. Yeah, that's a good song, Spoof.
Yeah.
Let's continue this because we are off on all kinds of tangents. You guys just cannot talk.
We don't have to go. We don't have to go straight through the plot of Blind Fury.
There's not a whole lot left here.
Let's just talk about some of the positives.
But we do need to talk about some stuff though. So what is the actual?
He shows up on the doorstep of the lady from They Live.
Yes.
Yeah, he does that because her husband was the dude he was with in Vietnam 20 years ago.
So,
who abandoned him, which led to his blindness.
So I have a question about this.
Yeah.
The setup to me is weird. Like, I understand the lady from They Live's husband is in trouble with some loan sharks.
Ex-husband.
Or whatever. Ex-husband. And so there's some conflict there for his character. It's weird to me that Rutger Hauer is the main character in the movie, and it jumps 20 years, and all of a sudden he randomly wants to meet up with this guy again.
Doesn't he have a bad dream about his friend?
Oh, does he?
I missed that. Was it a wet one?
I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
No, I didn't. We find out later.
I think he wanted to tell him that he forgives him, right?
Right, right.
Yes, yes. Oh, so he has like a Buddhist-y, like, very... I don't know what you want to call it, like a well-being kind of thing, like a hippie-ish zen. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Todd. Which is something that I aspire to have. Mm. I don't know about you guys. As I get older, it's like, I wish I was more zen and just could let everything roll off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could just stop caring about things.
No, I can't.
It's going to be tough.
It's so hard.
Oh, I'm sure it is tough. But.
I think you could. I think you just don't want to.
You just have to say, what will this affect me in 20 years?
Well, see, I don't think I'll be alive in 20 years. I don't know about you guys. I eat a lot of rice, and I've got so many goiters.
just one big goiter. Okay.
Do you think it would be easier to have that Zen attitude if you were blind?
Honestly, maybe. I would be restricted in what I could do, and what I do causes me a lot of stress.
You know, you can fix that, right?
How?
By not doing those things.
Well, I need money. I need to survive.
Well, this got dark.
My kids got drum lessons. I got to pay for that.
Drum lessons?
Drum lessons, four different dance classes, piano lessons, gymnastics. This shit don't pay for itself, son.
Jesus, no wonder you're stressed out. Tell your kids to go play outside and stop doing so much stuff.
Solid parenting right there.
They like it. They like doing dance class. Miranda likes playing drums. I want her to be a badass drummer. What do you say about that?
She could join our band.
Yeah, we're going to put Cyborg Planet back together. How are we going to do that? Josh sold his drum set. So, okay, this is the worst podcast so far, but let's just, this is the main conflict of the movie, is Rutger Hauer comes back for his friend. His friend has been kidnapped by some casino owners because he owes them money, and then the wife of his friend gets brutally murdered in front of him, and so he vows to protect the child and rescue his friend. Yes? Is that the basic plot line of the movie?
Yeah. It is, yeah. Yes. Was that weird for anyone else?
Yeah.
It's weird. Again, it's weird. His involvement is what is weird for me.
I think he's just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
But yeah, but it's weird that he walks in after 20 years. This is literally her first time ever meeting him. And,
she recognizes him at the door.
Well, he's in the photos.
You find out later, though, that the dude, I don't know anyone's name. The other guy in Vietnam. Frank. That guy thought he was dead.
Frank, yeah.
Yes.
He thought Rutger Hauer's character was dead. So it's not like he's like, oh, I haven't seen Frank, what's his name? What was Rutger Hauer's character's name? Nick. He's like, it's not like he's been saying, oh, I haven't seen Nick in forever. You know, I sure wish Nick would stop by. He straight up thinks he's dead. So it's weird that Nick comes to the door and this lady's like, oh yeah, oh good to see you. I see you knew Nick, whatever. And then she dies and she's like, oh, promise me you'll take care of the kid. Like that's weird.
It's weird because they don't really explain or show that they think he's dead, right? Like they have no reason to think he's dead. Sure, they show Rutger Hauer's like side of the things of him training and stuff, but like we have no like perspective from this other guy's.
How would he
point of view
not think he's dead though? He never made it back to the States. He was in Vietnam for 20 years cutting melons.
I know, but like it's not clear. Like it's
yeah.
I don't know.
I hear you that it's not clear.
I guess that is what you would assume. I thought it was strange that I don't know. You know, hey, go get help. Like, you would say anything besides, hey, complete stranger I just met an hour ago, promise me you'll take care of my kid.
Oh, but she's dying. What else can she do other than...
Yeah, you know, yeah.
But she's not saying he has to adopt him, just get him somewhere safe.
She knows he's a good guy because he likes tea.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's true.
So a lot of this movie, revolves around like a buddy cop kind of thing where it's Rucker Hauer with this kid.
The kid's honestly, a jerk.
He is, but I kind of like the relationship.
It worked. It didn't get annoying.
I didn't know if I should call it buddy cop, but that's what it felt like.
Yep.
Yeah, because they were at odds with each other the whole time. The kid picks up a rock and gives it to Rucker Hauer, telling him it's gum. And Rucker Hauer chews it, and he realizes it's a rock, and he spits it out and hits the kid in the head with it. It was fucking funny as shit.
Left a nice bruise on the kid, too.
I could immediately tell that, like, the filmmakers knew weaknesses and how to still produce a good product around mm-hmm. it, meaning there's a sequence where Rucker Hauer has to tell the kid that his mom died, mm-hmm. and instead of, like, showing that conversation, they kind of, yeah. like, cut back, and you just view it as a visual kind of thing, because it's so much smarter to do it that way than to have, like, this kid actor react to their mom dying, because...
Yeah, that was really clever.
Yeah. Well, and how do you like, write that dialogue, too?
Yeah, exactly.
They did have one part at the end where they should have done something similar when the kid was running along the bridge and he's like, I hate you, Nick. I hate you, Uncle Nick. And that was just really bad acting on the kid's part. But I felt like since it was at the end of the movie, it was like the kid's one big shot for a dramatic acting scene.
Yeah, yeah. I have some comments about that, too. There is one thing that bothers me about this movie, and I think it's because it's about blindness, but there's a lot of face touching where it's like Rucker Hauer's just feeling up people's faces and he feels up this like kid's face and it's just awkward and weird.
I think that's how blind people actually do it, though.
Yeah, like, but when they meet someone definitely... new.
They do. They do. They definitely do, but it still makes for an awkward movie, especially when I'm pretty sure when blind people do it, they ask for permission and Rucker Hauer just straight up face touches with reckless abandon so many times.
You saying he's like a face raper?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but he's definitely not I don't even know how to respond to that. Thank you, Spiv. That's getting cut from the show.
Side note, I have an alternate title, unrelated.
That's why I'm here.
So, can somebody explain to me why they kidnap Frank? Why does he owe them money, and why are they trying to get him to produce drugs?
Gambling
other
debt.
Than the casino is... But the casino's out of money. Like they don't have money to continue.
It's very thin.
They're losing all of their customers to the flashy casino down the street.
Yeah, they're the crappy casino in Reno instead of the Vegas Strip.
So how do they afford this amazing super villain lair in the mountains at the end of the film?
That place was awesome. I think they sell drugs to high rollers.
Was this supposed to be, like, a very, like, specific drug? Because they made it seem like it was some sort of unique thing.
It was blue crystals.
I thought it was, it was blue. Before,
yeah, what do you think that is?
Before Breaking Bad was a thing.
Just that blue meth.
Okay.
That Walter White shit. That.
So it wasn't just Pop Rocks?
I mean, can you get high on Pop Rocks?
Probably.
If you snort them.
Yeah.
I think you just die if you snort them. Your eyes burst out of your head.
That's because they get stuck in your passages and you can't breathe
and then
anymore.
Burst.
This movie is weird because it sets up this kid as like he's lost his mom. His dad has done some shady shit and Rucker Hauer steps in as to be like the dad he doesn't actually have, right? But then the story arc plays out where Rucker Hauer saves this kid's dad and just now this guy has a new wife and just moves on with his life. Where, like, nobody actually learned anything or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It feels very awkward to me.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of like they're getting on the bus and it's just goodbye, Rucker, but nobody says goodbye to him. Nobody thanks him. Like, you know that stuff happened within the context of the story, but you don't see it.
He was going to get on the bus with them, but then
he
decided at the last
he was supposed
minute.
To get on, yeah. and then they all got on, and he stayed back.
He threw his ticket on the ground.
I don't disagree with any of that. It's just you don't get that like feel-good moment ever.
No, because the kid's so upset that he's leaving. And
yeah, why is Rutger leaving?
He abandons Billy just like his mom did. I mean, granted, his mom did die, but still.
She got murdered. I mean...
I don't know. It's just because that's the thing heroes do, Spiv.
They have to move on.
He can't be attached to anyone.
I have two scenes I really want to talk about, though.
How many of them have buttholes in them?
None. There is one
with ninja sword guy.
About ninja swords and buttholes.
Nope, neither. You
electrocution
have
hot tubs.
We will get there. You have one with a woman who is now this kid's new mom because she's set up as like a likable person, although she's still working for the bad guys. But at one point, she's in a car with some of the henchmen, and the henchman cuts his finger on the sword, and it starts bleeding, and he goes, "Lick my wound." And he makes her lick his finger, which was...
Yeah, it was awkward.
Incredibly disturbing. And that, yeah, that was like... I've watched a lot of horror movies, okay? I've seen people cut up all kinds of shit. But to have, like, just casually be like, lick my bloody finger is somehow more disturbing than most of the shit I've watched.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. It's way worse than gore. Like, it's just disturbing.
It's just like,
people can be
gross. I think it's because, like, I've never been in, like, a jigsaw, like, mask on me that's going to rip my face off, but I have cut my finger before and it's bled, and I couldn't imagine going up to some stranger and being like, lick this, or, like, some stranger doing that to me and me, like, suckling on their bloody finger. Isn't that disturbing as fuck?
I mean,
fuck?
The fact that you suckling made that even worse.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not the one here, you know? That's just the way it is, though, right?
I think it was made even weirder because it was from the Goofy Cowboy Brothers.
Yeah, they were just like supposed to be slapstick, like, comic relief, but then super gross.
Dude, they had some funny moments, though.
When they shot each other?
There was, I don't remember what happened, but he wrote, he said, that thing's got more holes than my daddy's rubber at one point.
I wrote that down too.
What was that in
and
reference to?
And then his brother said, your daddy wore a rubber?
What was that? What happened? I don't even remember.
They shot up the cable car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what was the second scene you wanted to talk about?
Well, I mean, I guess we should talk about the cable car, because they do go up to this, like, Appalachian, I don't know where the fuck they were, but it was some sort of mountain. It was a skiing resort type thing.
That was for the final boss battle.
And they ride the, what are those things called?
Gondola.
Cable car, gondola.
All right. Both of you said the same thing at one time. I don't know what a gondola is. I feel like that's like,
it's like a big ski lift.
Okay, a ski lift. That's the word I'm looking for.
I think of a boat when I think of gondola, but okay.
And while I was watching that, I was just thinking personally, like, if I was to make a movie and you had to go up a ski lift, I don't even think I could be a part of this movie anymore. Because it's like, I can't go up in a ski lift. That's terrifying. That shit was terrifying. That was the most terrifying part of the movie.
You've never gone in a ski lift?
Hell no. I don't do anything with heights, man. That fucking shit scared me.
So we have season tickets to Dutch Wonderland, and Jacob talked me into going on the sky ride, and I don't do heights, and I didn't think I was going to make it.
Oh, God, you're stressing me out.
Isn't that like 20 feet off the ground?
No, it is really high.
It is really high, and I remember from when I was a kid, it's also very old, and every time you go over the little bumps in it, you're like, well, this is it.
See,
and then it'll like it's constantly moving until someone has trouble getting off or on. So then they stop it every once in a while, and the whole thing just swings back and forth. And
don't worry though, Chris. There's absolutely no seat belts. There's just a single bar to keep you from dropping.
That's just like
60 feet.
Never
and
go skiing, Chris.
We got off, and I had dug into my hand with my fingernails because I was hanging on to the bar so hard and holding on to him so hard because I was so afraid he was going to slip out the bottom.
Oh, my God. I'd have such a panic attack.
Yeah, I'm honestly really surprised that no kids have fallen off of that ever. Because it would be so easy for a kid to just slip right out underneath that.
Oh, Todd, I don't like this conversation. I really don't like it.
I'm sure some have fallen out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I
kind of like Chris's mystery turn.
That's Patreon content, Aaron. How dare you?
I gotta listen to this.
Sign up now.
I better pay my $2 for Patreon.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, seriously, when they're riding that ski lift up, it was stressing me out. And it's not supposed to, but it was.
That's
because
like
of how high they were.
Like, you can fit like 40 people in that thing.
I know, yeah, but like
it's
they kept
fully enclosed.
They kept doing shots. I was like, "How the fuck are you guys filming this? You guys are heroes among humanity." I couldn't handle it. And the end of the movie, actually,
it's satisfying though.
Very satisfying.
Yeah,
and it kind of rivals what was that Anne Nicole Smith movie? To the Limit. That's what it was, right? Was that To the Limit, where it has that cool sequence where the guy falls off the dam? That's To the Limit, right?
Yeah. The CD throwing.
To the CD right in his forehead.
So this movie, I was very satisfied with the end sequence. Because before you had like one other good ninja kind of fighting sequence in the house where he's slashing people. And a few little hints here and there. But this last fight sequence went on for like 10 to 15 minutes, and it was extremely entertaining.
It involved a guy getting electrocuted in a hot tub and a guy getting sliced in half and falling off a mountain.
Oh, God,
it was way
so
taller
good.
Than the mountain they climbed to begin with.
Dude, that,
but it was awesome.
That scene was the other
side of the mountain.
Yeah. Fell the whole way down into a valley.
It was cool. Like, I went back, I made a clip of it, I watched it a few times. It was badass. I am very satisfied with this movie. Like, guys, year end's coming up. That's all I'm saying. This is going to be one that I remember.
I hear you. I straight up
hear you.
You
know what I'm saying? The only problem is at the beginning of the movie, they show this kid. He's molding a dinosaur. He throws the dinosaur. Rucker Hauer catches it. The end of the movie ends with the kid getting on a bus or a train or whatever. And Rucker Hauer leaves, and he throws the dinosaur, and Rucker Hauer catches it again.
All right, can we talk about that? The kid runs off the bus after Rutger. Can't find him. Ends up over on like an overpass. Throws the dinosaur off. And then the bus drives up and picks him up.
Yeah, that's never going to
happen.
That's never
going to
happen. The bus is fucking out, son.
I think he ran this way.
What was the dinosaur supposed to imply? Like,
it was their connection.
Yeah, they're
bonded.
It was their dino DNA.
I was just trying to like figure out like a story arc for Rucker Hauer, and that's my main problem, because this movie rises above like your mediocrity. Like, this is good production, everything good, fun acting at least. So it feels like there is a character arc there. But it's not like when we are introduced to Rucker Hauer, he has any sort of struggles. He's fun. He's upbeat. He's jumping over like fucking alligators in Miami and shit.
Good dog.
Yeah. And so like, it's not like he's like learning to love again or learning to connect to people or anything like that.
No, he's finding, it's supposed to be like a finding purpose thing, isn't it?
I don't know, because if that's what it's trying to say, then why is he just leaving this kid?
Because he's
found
forgiven the father and saved his kid, and now he's stepping out.
The kid doesn't need him anymore.
He doesn't want to replace his father.
Don't you wonder if he had a family of his own? Like at least a mom or something that he left when he went to Vietnam?
Fury hath no family.
Anyways, it doesn't matter, because the movie ends, the credits kick in, it plays like a Night Court theme song. I was totally into it. It was fucking awesome.
All right, so you have a blind person, you have a child, and you have a woman whose glasses break. Who are you going to have drive the car?
I can't drive without my glasses.
Because I think the last choice for me is the person who can't see at all.
Yeah. You think that's your last choice, not the kid?
I think the kid can't reach the pedals.
But that was like the high adventure fun shit. You know what I mean? It was what? Stupid and so fun.
I know, but I was hoping goofy, it was going to be the kid steering with Rutger using the pedals. I just, really hope that was going to be the case.
Just keep going straight. Right. Straight. A little to the left. No, no, a little more. No, back to the right.
And you're veering into mean? The other lane.
Stop.
What, you are you, idiot? Blind?
Are you blind?
Yes.
What's your excuse?
Such a fun movie. God,
but that's another example where the tone just totally shifted.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we know what the rating on this one was?
R.
It was R? Okay.
Mm-hmm. There was F words. There was hands being cut off.
That's true.
You saw Rucker Howard without a shirt on.
A guy got sliced in half.
They, I mean, if they toned the violence down, this could easily be PG.
Oh, totally.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You take that hand cutting sequence out, it probably would be.
Even the hand cutting, I mean, it wasn't like we saw the hand get cut. It was just like there was a
swipe. I'm
pretty
sure you cut somebody's hand off, it's not going to be PG anymore.
Well, probably.
This was the 80s.
Yeah.
What was Temple of Doom? They ripped a heart out.
Kalima.
That was PG, right?
Yeah.
Kalima.
That was before PG-13 was a rating, though.
Ah, touche.
Yeah.
But what made this movie R?
All the blatant nudity. I mean, you couldn't see it because it was all, you know, it was from Rucker Hauer's perspective. But I assume it was there, right? Anyways, let's move on. Does anyone have any alternate titles?
I wanted to have way more alternate titles for this one, and I was just falling flat.
What do you got?
You just couldn't see any.
Couldn't pick them out.
Hot tub electrocution machine.
I have.
I just made that one up on the spot.
Full Metal Blind Stick, and like Full Metal Jacket. And
is that what it was from?
That was from. Yeah. And
wait, was it from Full Metal Jacket? Is that what you're saying?
Is that a movie?
And Yo Rutger. And
what's that from?
Yo Jimbo. And Bring a Sword to a Gunfight.
Aaron,
I didn't come up with any.
Anybody else?
Jesus.
Nope. This is the worst one.
Blinded by the fight.
I don't even know what half these are. Blind McMurray? What the hell is that even supposed to mean? Scent of a Child? You know, Scent of a Woman, because it's about Al Pacino. He's blind, and there's a child. Yeah, okay.
What?
Okay, I wrote down
there's
Ray Charles.
There's also a child peeking their head in behind you right now, and it's really fucking creeping me out.
Yes.
I can't. I'm busy right now. I wrote down Ray Charles, but that didn't go anywhere. Hair Devil? What the hell is that about? Hair Devil?
Like Daredevil?
Daredevil, yes! Okay, thank you.
Rucker Hauer has hair, I guess.
He has really long hair at one point. Mm-hmm.
Better hair than Ben Affleck.
I wrote down the Sword of Hauer, but I don't know what that's supposed to be in reference to either. Like these all suck.
The Sword of Power?
I don't know. Is there some sort of blind movie with Sword of Power?
I wrote down Apocalypse Now, but couldn't go anywhere with it. Did you have one of those?
Hmm.
No.
You just Apocalypse, where are you?
Apocalypse Hauer.
Yeah, it's lame. All right. It's got to be way better ones for this movie. We wasted all our blind jokes before the alternate titles.
All right, I have a hypothetical, though. So, because sight is one of your senses, which of the five senses would you give up? The five senses being sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste, as well as thermoception, which is feeling the difference between temperatures.
I would give up smell.
Giving up taste.
What? Get the fuck out. Actually, you know what? She's on to something.
Because you're going to lose so much weight.
Oh,
then.
My God.
Oh,
you know
wait,
how much
that's what
time
I need.
Can't
I
taste
waste, like,
all the good food? Then no, what's the point in eating it?
You guys are missing out because taste is 80% smell. You should give up smell and keep taste.
I'm going to go cauterize my tongue with my soldering iron. I'll be right back.
I wonder if you like burn your tongue real bad if you lose weight.
I think I'd still find a way to eat because it's not like about just eating.
Yeah, we talked about this before too. It's about texture sometimes too.
Yeah.
I think I'd give up touch.
Dude, no, because that affects your whole body. Goodbye, sex life.
Yeah.
Try, so. You try to pick anything up. Like, think about that. Your dexterity would be gone.
Do I have it? Do I have gonna, it? Is this...
Know, right. Scott, you would never catch a ball again.
Trying to sit down on a chair.
Yes, you wouldn't be able to feel if you sat. You would know if you're applying enough pressure for anything.
That would be weird. Yeah, would it be like a pressure thing too, though? If you didn't have the sense of touch, you couldn't tell.
I would assume so.
Pressure at a
Would it be like you were just numb everywhere?
That's how I'm sensing it. That's what I'm thinking it would be.
No.
Yeah, but the other things, like,
I mean, I guess you could feel your muscles contract, but that's
I thought it would be like, you know, I can't tell this table is smooth versus rough. It wouldn't be like, I can't tell I'm sitting in a chair because gravity is pulling me down. Because gravity's pulling me into the fucking chair.
I'm just saying.
But even feeling like if you're half on the chair, half off the chair.
Yeah, I feel like there's an unconscious level of touch that you are not aware of. And when it's gone, it would be super affecting.
Yeah, but there's like unlimited comic potential there.
Well, you'd be like, oh, I guess I'm leaning on this frying pan again. Oh, there goes my arm.
What's that smell?
It's my elbow.
So I guess, do you still feel pain?
Yeah, I mean, like how far does the sense of touch go?
That's true.
Is it like your nerves?
Spiff, can I ask you a question? Yeah.
What's up?
Nope.
Do you have a weenus?
I have two. One right here.
Just think about no one ever touching any of those weenuses again. And if
that's
they did, it wouldn't matter anyways.
That. I said, what about your sex life?
I think it'd be okay.
You wouldn't have one because you wouldn't feel anything.
Right.
But I still have all my other senses. I would get so much more done.
He'd have so much extra time on his hands.
I would have so much. It's not that mine's super busy, but it'd be like, I wouldn't be thinking about it at least.
I think he still would. It would just be extremely unsatisfying.
I'd probably have like time to make a cookbook and all kinds of shit.
You want to make a cookbook?
Well, I didn't before, but now I have so much time. It's just so much time.
I have a new hypothetical question then. What would your cookbook be called?
I don't know, Cooking with Rupert J all the way.
Blind Fury?
It'd be like How to Make a Taco, and that's pretty much all it'd be in there.
How to Make a Taco.
That was all the only hypotheticals I have. We have more when we have listener. I don't know.
If you were a blind person and you had to choose one weapon to carry around with you, what would you carry?
Not a sword. I'd definitely end up stabbing myself. Trying to put that thing away, I'd stab myself right in the ass.
Or random people, because you wouldn't know if the cap was on it.
Dude, he is willy-nilly with that fucking sword, is he not?
Can we talk about a couple things? First off, why is it called a cap on a sword?
What the hell is it supposed to be called?
I gotta go get my sword cap, guys. Hang on. I was
stabbing whatever. Part of his bow staff. I don't know.
You said cap. I didn't say cap. Right?
I said cap.
No, second off, how are you stabbing yourself in the butthole first?
I'd miss the sheath and I'd stab it right in the ass.
There are so many other things you could stab besides your butthole.
Now my butt is huge.
Don't you think you would stab something on the front of you first?
I mean, there's a good chance. There's a lot of things in front of me.
You might cut your weenus off. Be careful.
Dude, yeah, but he is very willy-nilly with this sword. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, he's got all that melon practice.
20 years.
20 years. It's a long time.
He's only killed 20 Laotians in 20 years, so he's gotten
poor
pretty
children.
Good at it.
I did like that scene where he's like marionetting with that other guy, and that guy's so small.
Oh,
and he rests his chin on his head.
Yeah.
How tall is Rutger Hauer?
I
think.
Oh, okay. He's pretty tall.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That guy was easily like, what, 5'3", 5'2"?
Yeah,
he was short.
6'1".
That's how tall.
Pretty tall guy.
Still pretty tall, yeah. All right. Should we move on, play game?
Game time, baby. Your theories are the worst kind of puppet, right? Your methods are sloppy and your conclusions are highly unpleasant. Shall we play?
This game is about blindness. So
get out of town.
I didn't see that coming.
Real original.
We're going to go Scott, Aaron, Chris, Todd. Question number one. No one ever born blind has developed what? Is it A, schizophrenia, B, cancer, or C, asthma?
All of those answers are very interesting.
That is... asthma seems totally unrelated. So I'm going to say schizophrenia.
I'm going schizophrenia as well.
Asthma.
Cancer affects everyone, so I'm going to say schizophrenia.
It is schizophrenia.
Damn it.
That's really interesting, though.
Any known correlation? Or, like, why is that? No idea.
Nope.
Weird.
Yeah. But it's only if you're born blind. So you can become blind later and develop schizophrenia, but yeah.
Huh.
I gotta
That's pretty interesting.
I got to see the p-values on that study.
There you go.
Number two, true or false, blind people have nightmares.
True.
I mean, I would assume so. They still experience life, so they still have a feeling of fear, I would assume. But it would be different, so...
What are you going with?
I'm going to say they do.
I'm going to say false, because you made it seem like it was very obvious. And I'm going to go on the opposite.
I'm going to say for sure true, and they're probably way more terrifying.
It is true. They have four times more nightmares than a sighted person.
It's because their brain doesn't get that sweet, sweet vision it craves.
I mean, they have nothing to level set themselves. They don't know what real world is like.
That's true.
Like, there could be monsters everywhere.
Oh, I have a hypothetical. All right, continue before I go off my crazy tangent.
What percent of blind people see nothing?
This is like legally blind people. Mm-hmm. Probably pretty small. 8%.
I'll say 17%.
30.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the definition of nothing is here, but I'll say it's probably it's probably pretty low.
I mean,
it depends what the definition of is. I'll say 3%.
Scott gets that. It is 12%. True or false? Humans can use echolocation.
Caca!
Yeah, I totally can. I totally can, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's in a rudimentary form. Yeah, I'll go with that. True.
We use echolocation all the time. Not from like a sense like a bat where we emit a sound and wait for... We're not using sonar, but in effect, we are. Yeah, echolocation, we use it.
Every blind movie or show is about the blind person using echolocation. Like, seriously. So, yes.
I'm going to say yes as well.
That is true. Some people are even able to mountain bike, through the woods because they're using, there's a guy that developed a method of tongue clicks that he teaches other blind people how to click their tongues. And so he like hops on a bike and rides through the city, or hops on a bike and rides through the woods and uses his tongue clicks to hear when there's something.
Yeah, but your tongue clicks can't see the rocks on the ground.
Wait, so like every time that's visualized in a movie, it is that. It's visual. So are these like echolocations perceived visually in their minds, or how is it? Does anyone know
that? Do they perceive things? That's a great question, Chris. Do they try to visualize things like we do?
It probably takes a lot of practice first off. Like, I imagine this dude isn't like 6 months in and he can ride a mountain bike. He's probably been doing it for 20 years. But I think I swear was it on like a TED Talk or something? I swear I saw that presentation about the dude who teaches people clicks, because I knew you were going to say tongue clicks, and I don't know where I would have heard about that before.
Just reading up on my quizzes before I give them. Number five. What percent of visual impairments are preventable?
Oh, God.
Too many.
Oh. 50.
75.
25.
Man, Spiff's stealing all my answers tonight. 38. Man, don't tell me it's from not going to the eye doctors often enough, too, because that's going to be bad news.
It is 80%. So Aaron gets that one.
Holy fuck!
Most impairments are coming from complications from diabetes, and it's usually type 2 diabetes, which comes upon by diet and other issues.
Cookies. Just say it, Rebecca. Cookies.
And then,
I believe it's pronounced diabetes.
Glaucoma is the other leading cause, and that is preventable as well if you go to the eye doctor. And
well, shit, I have too many donuts and haven't seen the eye doctor in 15 years.
I go to the eye doctor every year, but they've never been like, take your glaucoma medicine.
But
like, what do they
don't
do?
They puff
they
in your
the
eye?
Air puff in your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
that's
do that.
A glaucoma,
that's
a
glaucoma test.
Okay, but what if they're like, oh shit, son, you got glaucoma.
Well, then they're going to do something. But it's the people that don't go to the eye doctor and don't get that pressure test done that it just...
Well, sorry to inform you, Chris, you don't have cancer, but we're going to give you chemotherapy anyways. Like, what?
You can get that glaucoma test. You can get that sweet, sweet medical card now.
God, I hate that
dude,
test.
Dude, you guys literally haven't been in the eye doctor in a long time because they don't do that anymore.
They still can do that and on top of the other thing.
They do a different way, and there's no puff.
Last time I did three, there's like the little house thing that measures your eye stuff. Then there's the puff thing, and then they do that like really cool thing that maps your whole eye out in like high detail.
Yeah. There's no puff thing, though.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Yeah, I think it depends what kind of eye doctor you're going to. You probably go to the fancy eye doctor down in Philly.
Yeah, I go to a fancy eye doctor.
Did you know the house thing is like 99% accurate for judging
it's
your
cool.
vision?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So why really? Didn't even pay the eye doctor? Like,
exactly.
Just do the machine. Yeah.
Number six. What item used by the U.S. government must be assembled by a blind person? Is it A, pens, B, staplers,
caps,
or C, scissors?
What?
Do you assemble scissors?
Well, there's a screw,
two blades.
Right?
Yeah. Gotta put the plastic pieces on the end.
What? They must be assembled by blind people? I would say staplers. Because if you can't put those staples in without stabbing yourself, then... no good.
But is it assembling the entire stapler or just adding staples?
Assembling the entire thing.
There's
like
springs,
must be made,
screws.
Put together.
Ow,
by...
my eye! So I'm going to go with pens.
Stapler.
I think I'm going to go pen as well.
I'm going to change my answer to scissors.
Sounds so bad.
It is pens. The other specifications for a U.S. government pen, besides being assembled by a blind person, is they also must be able to write for a mile in temperatures 160 to negative 40 degrees, stand in for a 2-inch fuse, and be used in an emergency tracheotomy.
Okay.
Right for a mile? I'm picturing some road somewhere where there's just lots of pen marks.
That's what I'm picturing. There's a mile of paper and just a truck driving pens over this.
Nope, this one won't do.
Yeah, there was a joke a while ago about those pen specifications in the U.S. military with regard to the Russian military, and it was like, fuck that. We just use pencils. It's like most of those things are met with a pencil. Except for the emergency tracheotomy thing.
Number seven, about how many times did a blind hiker named Bill Irwin fall while completing the Appalachian Trail?
Oh my God.
The Appalachian Trail is 2,000 some miles.
He did the entire trail.
Did the whole thing. The
Pennsylvania section is pretty much all rocks. Boy. I'm going to say he fell at least like 10 times a day, which is over probably 3-4 months. So what's that?
A lot of math going into this answer here.
It is.
Was that roughly 30 days?
12, times like 480. 120, 10, so 1,200.
480.
1,200 times.
1,000
times. Yeah.
That's what? You said 4 months.
Yeah. 120 days, 10 times a day, 1,200.
Oh, 10 times.
I'm going to say once because he was up north and he fell and just rolled the whole way down the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, that bastard cheated.
I think he fell 0 times. He could sense the rocks.
Yeah, I'm going. I don't care if I can't do the same answer Chris did. I think it's a trick question. He fell 0 times.
Scott gets it. He fell about 5,000 times.
Holy shit.
Who's counting?
Yeah. There was nothing left.
Just his friend behind him with one of those little clickers. Oh, there it goes again. Oh, there it goes again.
He literally got up to the top and then just fell off.
And that was with a seeing eye dog.
Wow. What?
Was the fucking dog blind too?
Oh, come on, man.
Have you been on
knowing
the
where to go
trail?
And how to? It's a dog. Dogs walk very differently than we do up a trail. They have 4 fucking legs.
Seeing eye dogs also are. They also go to the bathroom on command because then the person
like
can
like
pick it up because they know like it's they've pooped, so they can pick it up. So they have to. Mm-hmm. Train them to go on command.
Now, do they count like Rutger Hauer did when the cane got thrown out of the car? Like, hurry, Billy, start counting.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb here. By the way, I wouldn't have to command my dog to shit on command if I were blind. I can easily tell when Lena takes a shit anywhere with my eyes closed. That wouldn't be a mystery for me.
Last one. Which president became blind in one eye during his time in office? I'm not giving you choices. Just guess a president you think.
Oh, I think I know this one.
I think I do too.
Is it FDR?
Damn it.
Maybe.
That's what I was going to say. It's man's man.
FDR?
The polio? Yeah.
I'm going to go Herbert Hoover?
George Clinton. Bill Clinton. Whatever the fuck.
George Clinton. And the Funkadelics.
That's a different movie.
Bill Clinton.
I thought it was... who's,
it's not the one eye you're thinking of.
Who's Peanut Man? Is that Jimmy Carter? I thought it was Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Carter.
Peanut Man.
One-Eyed Willie?
It was, I think, Chris, this is who you were thinking of, Teddy Roosevelt.
Ah,
yeah, the man's man. Yeah. Is that Teddy Roosevelt? He's wrestled a bear.
He did everything.
He lost sight in one eye following a boxing match injury while he was in office. He was
so
boxing
badass.
And lost his sight. So, Aaron and Scott, you tied for the win.
Yeah.
I gotta feel like being blind is a thing that will fix in the next 50 years, right?
Well, they already have. They're making like artificial eyes and things. They can only see like one color, and like, we're
who
getting
cares?
Closer.
Yeah.
But that's only if you have a working optic nerve.
Yeah, just I think like it depends what's wrong. Yeah.
Right.
Get the visor.
Okay. We need people on the brain more. Got to get in on those.
And here we go. Here we go. We're back to Chris's segment about plugging shit into my brain.
All right.
Singer Art Garfunkel has put $2 million on the table for anyone that can find a cure for blindness by December 13th, 2020.
Oh,
really?
Yep.
Why? Does it personally affect him or something?
I don't know. It says he teamed up with two of his former college buddies.
Did you say $2
million? $2
million. That's not that much.
Yeah, that's
well,
not that much money.
It's
some more
$2 million worth of gold bullion.
That doesn't make it better. That makes it way worse.
Chicken bouillon, and it's not that great.
Whenever celebrities do that, like, I pledged $200,000 to this charity. It's like, well, you made that in like half an hour yesterday.
That would be the equivalent of me pledging $12 to cure blindness.
Exactly.
Anyways, let's move on. This is, we're going off in tangents. All right.
It's the longest podcast ever.
You are listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. Do you have a recommendation? A question? Do you want to talk about bad movies? Then join us over at our subreddit. Just search for Bad Movie Night on Reddit and join our community. Now, back to the show.
Todd, would you recommend Blind Fury?
Yeah, for sure. It's a fun movie. Rucker Howard's a little goofy. There's some cool action scenes. Fun times.
Scott?
Definitely. It's a fun, family-friendly romp through the Midwest.
All right, Aaron.
This was not a road trip movie. Don't get confused by Scott's review there. But
it's a bit of a romp. I'll back him up.
They were
I'll
on
back
that bus for a while.
They definitely romped.
Okay. If this van isn't romping, don't come a knocking. Yes, I would love this movie. It's fantastic.
Rebecca.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend it. Be ready for a little bit of a roller coaster ride of emotions, but
oh,
it's worth
totally.
It.
Totally.
Do yes. you cry too?
Real men cry, Billy. Real men cry.
I love this movie. It was fucking fantastic. Super fun. I love Rucker Hauer. Everything he's in so far has been such an enjoyment. And this is no different. So we got a lot of emails and comments. Let's just dive into some of these bad boys here. First one up. Shit, I forget who wrote this down or who sent this. What would you do if you found your doppelganger doing pornography online?
What are you gonna do?
I'd be impressed.
You have to watch it, right?
Yeah, I totally like, you know, do stuff to it, right? That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, Mom, that's not me. I'm not gangbanging right now.
What? Why did your mom
yesterday,
find it?
Yesterday, yes, but not right now.
Because my mom watched a lot of porn.
I was looking for this hot dog recipe, and I found the most disturbing video.
I don't know. I mean, I had a doppelganger in high school. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Todd, remember that? There was that kid that looked just like me?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost the same thing. He didn't do porn, but he could have.
He might have. He might have.
Yeah. All right, we got another one from our good friend James Dean. He's at JamesD7004 on Twitter. He says, if this movie was remade today, who would you cast as the lead? I'd say Pauly Shore, and after every kill, I'd have him say, hey, buddy.
That's a good question.
I think The Rock could pull this off.
It's always The Rock. God everybody, damn The Rock. The Rock is in every movie.
I am looking forward to that new Jumanji, man.
What about like Kevin Hart then, on a similar vein?
I have an answer, but it's complete.
He wouldn't be tall enough to stand over the monk. He'd be behind him the whole time.
That's true.
I have an answer, but it's like a complete shit answer. I have no clue why. I see Shia LaBeouf in this role.
People hate on Shia. I like
Shia.
Dude,
I hear his latest movie is really good.
Yeah.
Like the best Shia yet.
I'm thinking Robert Downey Jr. because they throw him in all these movies. And it's like everybody loves him.
I'm a dude playing the dude pretending to be the dude.
I can see this is the movie.
He's perfect. Tropic Thunder character.
No, this is like
the other one that's blind. Isn't he have one that's blind in that movie?
Oh, that's true. That's true. All right, our good friend Sesawee.
You are never going to learn.
Sa-swee. Is that right?
Yeah, Sa-swee.
You can totally overclock your brain. It's called PCP. Closest to Philly, I think. So get on that and report back next week with your findings. What is PCP?
Acid.
Acid, yeah.
Oh, I would totally do that.
Don't forget your milk cooling.
Yeah, get them milk tubes into your head.
I just like dump a bunch of milk on my head while I take some acid.
PCP is fenciclidine. I don't know how to say that. That's tough to say. Oh, I was
okay. Wait, what is I'm it? Moving on.
I was hoping for the phonetic spelling. Sorry, that's what I was looking for.
Fenciclidine.
Right.
Is that right?
Our good friend Paul Lilienthal, I pronounced that much better this week. He says, there's a comma, goddammit. Your comma, pause, the hunter from the future.
Which, no, I mean.
It doesn't right, help.
Yeah. good friend Mike D says, it's supposed to be Atlantis from the wiki description of the comic series. He's talking about Your.
Oh.
He used to buy the comics when he was a kid and look forward to the movie when it came out on a Friday. And then he went on a cheap night on a Tuesday and had already been pulled for... Oh, sorry. I read this all wrong. He went... He was looking forward to the movie. It came out on a Friday. And when he was able to go on a Tuesday, it had already been pulled.
Oh, geez.
And only was in the theater for 3 days.
So, but this had a theatrical release. That's pretty cool.
That was a quality movie. I'm sorry I missed last week.
I'm sorry that Mike didn't get to see it 20 years ago. Or 30 years ago.
Yeah. And when he kills that bird thing and then rides it in. Oh.
So good.
You're a hunter.
Paul
the man.
Lilienthal has sent us a idea for March. Themed month, March of the Appliances, with movies such as Maximum Overdrive,
oh, Microwave
Massacre, Attack of the Killer Refrigerator, The Mangler, Amityville, The Evil Escapes, and Superstition. These are all movies that contain appliances killing people.
I would be down for
there
that.
There you go.
And what else we got? Okay, Justin says, dude, you're getting Adele. And now I feel 1,000 years old. Ooh, and we also got a recommendation for the 1982 movie She, which is a sword and sorcery movie.
Ooh.
So there you go.
She. Put it on the list.
Okay. That's it. If you want to send us a message or a comment or a question, then reach out to us. Either find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Reddit. Just search for Bad Movie Night. And... you can also send us an email at info@bad-movie-night.com and we will include it on the show and talk about it and all that fun stuff. So, that's going to do it for Blind Fury. Next week, we are going to dive into some sci-fi action and check out Rotor from 1980. I don't remember what year it was. So let's go check out that trailer.
With Jay Walker, the perfect police officer. It won't stop. A prototype of what is to come. But pray, it never comes to this.
He's programming himself.
An unstoppable force. Without flesh and blood. Rotor.
It's like a horror take on RoboCop. Which is honestly like kind of unoriginal, but also kind of cool too.
RoboCop, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. It's TurboCop. Terminator Cop.
Judge Turbo
no,
Cop.
Turbo Cop is that movie with Jay Leno.
It's Judge Cop.
Alternate title, got it ahead of time, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie looks sweet.
Yeah, I was getting a little Judge Dredd in there too.
Oh. Duh.
Yeah, but Judge Dredd isn't a robot. Like he
isn't
has
he? He's Stallone's kind of robotic.
Nah, he's a human. He's got personal feelings that can cloud decisions, unlike a robot. You know what I'm saying?
So what does Rotor stand for?
Robotic Operational Tournament or Retina.
Officer.
There you go.
What was the T?
I don't know. What did I
tournament?
Targament?
Tarjay.
It was scientific, so if you wouldn't understand.
What do you think it stands for? Robotic?
I'm excited. I am actually super excited for this movie. I've heard many things about this movie, and the production quality and everything looks pretty fun.
It looks good.
There's some cool miniature work I saw with the Robotnik interior or insides of the Rotor. Yeah, that's what you call it.
Like the Hedgehog Robotnik in here?
Yeah, Robotnik. What would you call it? Robotic? Robotnik? It's the same shit.
It's a robot. Robot.
Robot.
And we come full circle again.
Rotor. I can respect any movie that has... It's just like abbreviated like that with just the periods. That's badass, right? I'm going to have a movie. It's just called Ass, but it's all A, period, S, period, S.
What's that going to be about?
Alien science sex. There you go. Look for that coming next summer.
Ass at a theater near you?
I don't know. All right, this is going on way too long. God. Let's just wrap this up. That is going to do it for this week's episode on Blind Fury. If you like what you heard, then go onto iTunes, leave us a review. That really helps out the show. That's the least you can do, and we would super appreciate it. If you do really like the show, then make sure you sign up for our Patreon. It's $2 a month, and you get access to all the bonus podcasts and videos. There's something like 45-ish bonus podcasts with more added every week, and you get exclusive access to new shows like Just the Plot or Watch It for the Plot and some other things. So make sure you go there now. As well as join us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. I post clips of all the movies that we're watching and talking about so you can see some of the things we're referencing. So find us there. And then that's it. That's going to do it. Make sure you eat lots of carrots to keep those eyes working well or something. Vitamin C, D.
Go get that glaucoma D. checked. Hey.
See you guys next time.
See,
get that because it's about a blind guy. Good job, Doc. All right, we'll catch you here next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. You were on your own. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. You must be crazy. Man, I've seen some bad films. Man, I've seen some bad films. When I say bad, I didn't watch them all the way through. If I had, I'd be crazy by now.